For those listening in or visiting our service today, a very special welcome to you. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to His Word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us here. Involved in the service is Simon. Simon's going to read the Bible to us a little later. Our musos today are Sam and Young Lan is our song leader today. And I too will be singing along today in Rosemary's absence. The service this morning is a service of Lord's Supper. So if it's a time where we remember God's great love for us in Christ Jesus and the love we ought to have for one another as His people. So if you do love the Lord Jesus and are in fellowship with your neighbour, please come to the table or remain in your pews as directed. And during the time of that remembrance, remember Jesus and give thanks to Him. Our Bible teaching this morning continues through the sermon series, When Caring Seems Wrong. And today we're thinking about when caring doesn't seem worthwhile. And the passage of scripture that we're looking at is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through to 46. That will be up on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles or in the actual sheet of paper that's or the bulletin that's been given to you as you came in today. Our mission focus for May this month has been on the work of refugees in Sydney in particular, ministry to refugees, in particularly through the Blair family. And it was lovely, wasn't it, having Cameron and Lara join us last Sunday to tell us about their work in Western Sydney. We've also, if you wish to support that work by not only prayer but in a giving extra, there are Link Missionaries, little envelopes at the end of the pews today for you to take home and give towards that ministry. We've also mindful this month of Anglican chaplains who work amongst the police force, and we'll be praying for them today. The sentence of scripture is from Matthew 6, verse 33 and 4. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let me pray. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Please stand and let us sing our first song together, Only a Holy God.
Power can raise the dead. What are the could rescue me from my failing? Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God.
Yourself, if you don't know who they are, say good morning, welcome to church. The Lord be with you. The children will leave now and go off to kids' church at this time. Glennon, is Tony? If you're able to stay for morning tea after the service, please do so during that time, and let's continue our fellowship beyond our gathering this morning into the meal together. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. God calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." But we fail to honor him, and we should, as we should, and to respond to his love for us. So recognizing our guilt and trusting God's mercy and grace, as we gather together this morning, let us confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to love you and our neighbour, and to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's pray before Sir Simon comes up to read the scriptures to us. Faithful God, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn, and inwardly digest them, so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly onto the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Simon, up you come. As Simon comes up, our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Please open your Bibles, either to page 994 or follow along on the screen or in your news and notes. Thanks, Simon.
Good morning, everyone. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
In response to God's word, let us affirm with Christians across the ages our confidence in God who has spoken in his word. Please stand. Let's say together the Nicene Creed. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated and open up your Bibles or turn to the handout that's inside the news and notes where the Bible passage is there printed for you. Occasionally, Rosemary and I will get pizza on a Friday night. Fridays are our day off, and during this time of the year, we usually watch the football as well, and we have pizza. During the summer months, it's cricket. But the usual pizzas that we get ordered are the supreme with olives and a vegetarian and garlic bread and a bottle of Diet Coke. So you know what you're going to get if you drop in on Friday nights. And if our son Jono wants to join us and not out with his friends, we had a Meat Lovers pizza as well. On arrival, the pizza boxes and garlic bread are placed on the kitchen bench, opened up, drinks poured out, plates found, serviettes, grace is said, and it's dig in. I usually wait till last, not because I'm a gentleman, but because I know that Rosemary and Jono don't like olives. And like a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats, so Rosemary and Jono separate the olives from the pizza pieces that they've got, and all are mine. As I was preparing, I was curious. I was curious about why do shepherds separate their sheep from the goats? So before checking out my Bible commentaries, I did what all reputable researchers do. I Googled it and found out it's not uncommon, even in Bible times, for sheep and goats to mix and graze together. But there comes a time in the day when the two need to be separated. I'm no farmer, so let me get a farmer to explain it to you.
In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus uses the illustration of the judgment being like a shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. Now, that illustration was probably more easily understood by ancient audiences than it would be for us today. But let me give you a little bit of information that was helpful to me in understanding that. In ancient times, shepherds would often run goats and sheep together. And when they would bring them in at the end of the day, they would bring them into the sheep fold, which was a corral made of stone or wood fencing of some type. When sheep and goats are confined in a tight area, oftentimes they become a little bit more agitated and aggressive towards each other, and particularly goats against sheep. So what shepherds would do is they would divide the sheep fold and put the sheep on one side and put the goats on the other side. This would allow each group to be a little bit more relaxed and calm. Jesus uses that common practice to say on the day of judgment that what he's going to do with people is divide them, the sheep from the goats. You remember the sheep that were on the right hand were those that had practiced what the Lord said. And you remember that those goats on the left hand were those that had not practiced what the Lord had said. If you've ever owned goats and sheep, you understand why Jesus chose to put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand. Anyway, maybe this will give you a little bit more insight next time you read Matthew chapter 25. Thanks for watching, and as always, happy farming.
So why do shepherds separate the sheep from the goats? It's because at the end of the day, when the sheep and goats are brought into the confines of the pen for shelter, it's for the safety of the sheep. The sheep are separated from the goats. And Jesus told this illustration to point out that at the end of time, when he returns, he will judge mankind as to whether we have done what God has asked of us to do. And for the safety of his sheep, his chosen sheep, he will separate mankind accordingly. And what Jesus will judge mankind by is just that. If we have done what God has asked of us to do. Now, the most important thing God has asked of us to do is to accept Jesus as God and his forgiveness he has won for us in his life and death that he's won for us on the cross. God's good work done for us. This is what enables us to pass the judgment. Not any good works we do, but good works like how we care for others, for example, in the illustrations that Jesus gave in our Bible reading this morning, will be proof of our acceptance and passing the judgment. God's given good works done by us out of love for God and others are proof of God's good work done in us. And that is the message and reminder of Jesus in the passage we've heard read to us this morning and before us. God-given good works done by us out of love for God and others are proof of God's good saving work done in us. If we claim to be the righteous, the right ones with God, the chosen ones by God, his sheep and not goats, we will be doing the good works God has prepared for us to do. And the question we're being asked this morning is, are we doing the good works God brings our way to do? And the other question is, what can we remember to help us to not only do them, but to know that we're doing them? I found it interesting, the examples that Jesus uses, the good works that he chooses to use in this to illustrate his message in the story today. The ones he used and chose to prove and show care. Interesting in that they don't come easy to do. Well, they might for you, they don't for me. They don't come easy to do to most people. A person could give rise to the question, is it worth our while to actually care in such a way? I mean, feeding someone or clothing someone whom we know is hungry or without clothes, haven't they the means to do so themselves? Why haven't they? I mean, why can't they do this for themselves in today's situations? And welcoming the stranger, looking after the sick, visiting those in prison. Can I trust the stranger? Can I invite them into my house and welcome them to stay the night if they haven't a room to live in? If I look at someone who is sick, does that pose the risk of me getting sick too? And why visit a person in prison? If they're in prison, don't they deserve to be there? Why shouldn't I visit them? Why should I visit them? The examples Jesus used, I find interesting because I think if we're honest, or if we remember a situation that we may have been in, or ponder up in our mind a possible situation that we might be in with a person that we know or don't know, or we might come across, I think if we're honest, these illustrations that Jesus uses don't come easy for us. They're confronting. They're inconvenient. They expect from us sacrifice on our part. A giving of and from ourselves for another at our expense. And maybe at a time not of our own choosing. Just doesn't fit in. And it's not to be assumed from the examples Jesus has given that our motivation to meet another's need, to care for them, is that that person has actually asked for the care. Rather, it's assumed that we will be willing to take the initiative, to be looking, to see the need before it's even been asked for, and to volunteer to meet that need. And furthermore, we volunteer to meet the need in such a way, Jesus suggests, as if our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. It's done in secret, with humility, no reward sought for. no trumpets played, no praise or recognition required or asked for. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in and needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And there, in our question and in Jesus' reply, is our answer, our motivation when we think caring doesn't seem to be worthwhile, and the proof of our safety and judgment. God knows, God sees our care for another as being done unto him. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. God-given good works done by us out of love for God and others are proof of God's good work done in us. This is the message and reminder of Jesus in the passage we've heard read and before us this morning. If we claim to be the righteous, if we claim to be right with God, chosen by God, his sheep and not goats, we will be doing the good works God brings our way to do, even if others don't see it being done. God sees it being done. They will be proof of our safety at the judgment, and our motivation to do them is knowing Jesus sees us doing them unto him. So when we're tempted to not care for another because it just doesn't seem to be worthwhile to us or inconvenient, and there appears to be no value in it for us, more likely costly to us, of time, of resources. Trevor, remember. Let us remember. Caring, doing God-given good works for us to do is proof that you're right with God, one of his sheep. And what the shepherd sees us do in secret, he sees as being done unto him. And in there lies our reward. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing another song that reminds us of the one who helps us to do just this, to put his word into practice. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life in my living soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole.
Willing soul, bring the presence.
Let's spend some time in prayer, shall we? One of the great things I love my children at Scripture reminding us, our Scripture teachers, is that when we pray to God, we ask them, what does God do with his fingers? And it's lovely to hear them all go back and say, he doesn't stick them in his ears. He listens to us. Amen, amen. So let's pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has promised that you will hear us. You will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we now offer. Well, let us pray for the will to please God together. Would you join with me in this prayer? Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord, that bringing forth the fruit of good works, they may be abundantly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all people and for the church throughout the world. Almighty and ever-living God, we are taught by your holy word to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people. We ask in your mercy, firstly, to accept our gifts and our offertories and to receive the prayers which we offer to your divine majesty. We pray that you will lead the nations of the world in the ways of righteousness and peace, and guide their rulers in wisdom and justice for the tranquility and good of all. Bless especially your servant, Charles, our King, his representatives and ministers, his parliaments, and all who exercise authority in this land. Grant that they may impartially administer justice, restrain wickedness and vice, and uphold integrity and truth. And we ask of your goodness, Lord, to comfort and sustain all who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We beseech you to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, Heavenly Father, to all bishops, clergy, and other ministers, especially those in our region here. We think of Daryl, our Presbyterian minister in the region, that by their life and teaching they may set forth your true life-giving word and rightly and duly administer your holy sacraments. And to all your people, give your heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present gathered, that we may receive your word with reverent and obedient hearts, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. And we also bless your holy name for all your servants who have died in the faith of Christ. Give us grace, Heavenly Father, to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of your eternal kingdom. A prayer for the ministry for refugees, in particular the Blair family in Western Sydney. Heavenly Father, we remember before you this month the many refugees throughout the world without statehood, homes, and hope. We bring before you especially those individuals and families who have found refuge in Sydney and come under the pastoral care of the Blair family. Grant to Cameron and Lara and their family the resources and opportunities they need to reach out especially to refugee youth and their families and to care for them. Please use our gifts this month and our prayers to meet that end. Amen. A prayer for the courts and all judges. Almighty God, you who judge rightly and love mercy, work within our courts and in and through its judges. Give to them understanding and wisdom in all their deliberations, that they may discern the truth and impartially administer the law in the fear of you alone. Through him who shall come to judge, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A prayer for Anglican police chaplains and all police chaplains. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your providential care of our world and the peace and security that we enjoy in our land, Australia. In particular, we thank you for members of both federal and state police forces and those chaplains who care for them. Despite the corruption of the human heart and the prevalence of lawlessness and sin, we thank you for these guardians of justice in our society. Grant to the police chaplains the grace to minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of our police force members and to their families. May they act with compassion, understanding, wisdom, and love as they support them in their line of duty. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who alone brings order to the human heart, peace to a troubled world, and the hope of eternal life for all who put their trust in him. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, we pray a set prayer. I pray, Almighty God, you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant to us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and always to rejoice in his holy comfort through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. To conclude, please pray now quietly yourself for those in our church family you know who are ill, recovering from illness or in need at this time. And as we do, let us consider what we could do to volunteer to meet that need and his grace to do so. Hear us, Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, together, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We come now to that time in the service where we take a moment to remember God's great love for us in Christ Jesus and the love we ought to have for one another. So whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, writes Paul to the church, and only then eat the bread and drink from the cup. Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and strengthen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy and are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. Come then, with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, recognizing the significance of sharing in this way. If in good conscience it would not be right for you to participate, please use this time now to reflect on God's love for us in Christ Jesus, in God's love for you. Well, knowing the goodness of God and the times we failed to respond with love and obedience, let's first confess our sins together. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same, Lord, always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Please stand. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Please be seated. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Together, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, as you came in today, you would have received through the door, hopefully, a lovely welcome, I'm sure, absolutely, and also a bulletin and news and notes in it. Inside that are a number of announcements to make you aware of what's going on in the life of St. Andrew's here, Abbotsford Anglican Church. Please be mindful that this week we reach out to our brothers and sisters in Bayswater Gardens and Chiswick Manor with church services there on Thursday and Sunday and Bible study. So pray for that on Thursday and for Sunday as well. But we have a few announcements. Ladies, Rosemary's not well today, but she asked me just to remind you all that if you've registered to be one of doing EQUIP this year, please put your name down on the back on the mission table, on the piece of paper that's there placed, that she knows the numbers that have registered for that day. Men, next Saturday is our breakfast and Bible study and prayer morning. Please come. Please sign up at the back so I can know for catering purposes for our breakfast together, a fellowship together and Bible study time together. And then on the 1st of July, also men, you can sign up for, we had a great day a while ago, lawn bowling, and we've got another day planned as well too to do just that. So if you want to come along and do some lawn bowling, barefoot bowling, although it's not really barefoot bowling, it's sand shoe bowling, you know, but you can come and join us on that day as well. Thank you for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond through your offertories, either in the box or online itself. Before I make the last announcement, I'm going to ask Tina just to come forward. Tina would like to say a few words to us. Tina, come forward.
It's in my journey of selling the house as part of relocating, I really appreciated all the prayer that was given. It was also a witness to the estate agent as well, because he was just so surprised at the events that unfolded, and particularly on the auction night. So just remember, we just have to keep on hanging in there, because you know what? God works. And I really like to say that this is such an appreciation from my heart about all of you people who've been praying for me, because it does show the love of Christ and the care that you give. So please be encouraged, especially in the light of today's sermon. Praise the Lord. Grace and peace to you, all of you. Thank you.
Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for how you've been working in Tina's life and in all of our lives in various ways. We think particularly of answers to prayer for her. We now pray for this time of transition as she moves from here in this location and likely this church to a new area, a new church and a new beginning. Lord, be placing on her mind the areas of ministry that you will grant to her the grace to do with excitement. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord be with you, dear lady.
Thank you.
After church, if you would like prayer for yourself, we have people in the church here who've designated their time at the end of church to pray for you. It's in confidence. And if you'd like to come up the front, there'll be people here who'll pray for you. And Jeff and Coral are designated today to pray for people today. Please stay for morning tea after church and continue the fellowship. And if it's warm enough outside, or if you like to be out in the sun, we can move out into the playground as well too. Before we go out for morning tea, let's stand and sing our final song together. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Scripture for today: when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.